I have to warn you in advance, some of you who haven't seen me do this very often, I am known as Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and that's because sometimes it impacts me more than it does you when I do these things. And it's also hay fever season is starting up, and we've had the windows open at home, and that's what it's all about, really. It has nothing to do with the topic tonight or anything. I think I may have done this here before, but I'm not sure. And I think you guys are about like me and have probably forgotten if I'd done this before anyway. Because I do, Steve mentioned one time, I about fell over right there. We'll just get this up here where everything will stop for me now. Steve mentioned one time that I keep a journal. It started out being a blessings journal, and then it kind of morphed into writing a lot more than just the blessings down. And now I just, when something comes to mind, I write it down in there. And it may just be a couple of things that Steve said during the message that resonated with me and made me think of something else. And so I'll write it down in the bulletin. I never pay attention, Steve. I'm too busy writing in the bulletin, I think. I hope he doesn't watch this. So I write those things in that journal. And I've got some longer things that I've written in there. I keep my testimony in the journal, and it's an ongoing testimony of, and I call it my imagination journey. It's where I started at, and I never imagined, and you can't either if you think about it. You can never imagine where God is going to take you to. So I say all that to say, I may have just written this down and never said this, what I'm going to do tonight here, but I have a feeling that I have, but that's okay. This is where God has brought me to, is for this and with this, and that's what I'm going to bring tonight, because this is something that it came to mind while Stacy was out having her family party and left me there to take care of two cats, and we all survived it, barely. But I mentioned this was a big month at our house, and I talked about Amos and I talked about Mac, and it's also a big month for us in a different way. Psalm 46 has taken on a new meaning in our house, and that's where we're going to be at tonight, if you want to go ahead and find that in your Bible. This is going to be, I'm combining a little bit from the New American Standard and the NIV, because the NIV gives a couple of phrases there that I like the way they phrase it a little bit better. And so I'm going to insert that in it. I also don't like this microphone because I feel like I'm wearing Groucho Marx's mustache on my shirt. For you that aren't old enough, Barbara, who Groucho Marx is, your husband can tell you when you get home, okay? The whole purpose of Psalm 46 to me, it's a psalm of assurance of where we are with our God. So with that, let's read his word that he's given to us. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations may roar, the kingdoms totter. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Father God, I just pray that you would just loosen my words. that they would hear my heart and understand that it's not me speaking, it's the Word of God that's coming forth. That you would receive all the glory, all the praise that is due to our Savior and King. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to sit down because if I walk like Steve does, I would probably have to lay down the floor for a half an hour before I go home. So you're just going to have to bear with me a little bit. Let's put this all in context and give you an idea of where I'm going with this. I mean, it's very blunt that God is our refuge and our strength, and we don't have anything to fear when things happen around us. Yes, we should be concerned. There's a war going on the other side of this world, and there are people that are dying from diseases that we can only imagine exist out there. But he is our stronghold. Mountains may be moved into the sea, but God is in control of those things. He says to cease striving and know that I am God. Be still and know that I will be exalted. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. I said March is a big month for us at our house. March 17, 2021. Stacy went in for a procedure. She was having some issues, and so she went in. And Dr. Lane came out, and well, she didn't come out. She called me on the phone because of the time period we were still in at that point in life. And she said, everything went well. We found some suspicious tissue. We're going to have it analyzed and biopsied. And you can see the results on the portal later. And so Stacy kept checking on the portal for the lab results and what's this suspicious tissue and what's the pathology going to tell us on that. And we didn't hear anything for a couple of days. And she kept looking. And then we got a phone call before we even saw it on the portal. And with the doctor said, I'd like you to come in and talk to me about what we found. Well, I don't know what would prop up in your mind, but I know what came up in ours, that this isn't good. If they don't want you to read it online then and want you to come in, this is not going to be a good thing. So we're a week later, and we go in to see the doctor, and we learn that Stacy had endometrial cancer. We suspected there was something wrong because of her family background with cancer, but you don't want to admit that to yourself until the doctor makes that final to you. I know this. Probably everyone here, probably everyone that you know that's not here, has had someone close to them battle cancer. We've lost church members and friends. One person that I will never forget is Charlie Armstrong. I think everybody in here probably knows and remembers Charlie and his battle that he fought. I was in the hospital. I'd had my gallbladder removed, and I'd had another surgery at the same time called a Nissen wrap because I was having GERD so bad they were afraid I was going to get esophageal cancer if they didn't do something about it. So I'm sitting there, or not sitting there, I'm laying there in the bed. They kept me overnight because I had a problem with my lung, a little bit of a collapse during surgery. And I'm laying there in the hospital bed, and who walks in but Charlie and Daisy? What have they been doing? Oh, they've been down in Springfield taking a cancer treatment. And they just wanted to stop by and see how I was doing. I said, Charlie, how do you feel after going what you went through? And he said, oh, my feet are a little numb, but he said they stay that way for about a week, and then I start getting the feeling back in them and stuff. And I said, well, what did the doctor say about it? And he said, well, you've had more cancer treatments than any human being that we've ever had come through here. And Charlie said, so what does that mean? And he said, we don't know, because nobody's ever gone this far before with all these treatments. Charlie was a unique person, though. What he told me and what he said that day was, I meant more to him than getting home and sitting in a recliner and resting and getting the feeling back. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Stacy's mom had cancer multiple times. Once before I even met Stacy, once shortly after we were married, and then we believe that that's what finally she died from. Her aunt and her grandmother had cancer. My father died from cancer 4 months after he was diagnosed with cancer. My sister Patsy battled cancer for 10 years. The same cancer came back on her 4 years after surgery, and then the next time 3 years after surgery, and it finally got her in the end. It's serious. It destroys lives. It destroys family. But we have to be careful that we don't let it defeat us in our relationship with Christ. Dr. Lane and Dr. Bonebreak. Who wants a doctor named Dr. Bonebreak? He did tell us that he wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon, but he just didn't think he could make a living with that name. But he said, and she said, they both said this, it's level one cancer. We got it early. 75% of cancers in women are this type of cancer. Odds are that a hysterectomy will take care of it. I'm sure that that's not what Stacy wanted to hear. That's not what I wanted to hear, but we were a little bit prepared for it emotionally, but not for that last statement of a hysterectomy will probably take care of it. But, you know, what I want to talk about tonight is this is a lot less about cancer and a lot more about being still and being willing to give it up to God. So we went up to visit Gabe up at Baldwin City at some time in between that and having the surgery. And we're on our way back, and Stacy keeps a Bible in her car. She reads it while she drives, I think, sometimes. But, well, if God's going to take care of you, reading your Bible driving, he's going to take care of you, right? But you guys can all talk to Stacy. She'll verify everything I say is always true. Or most of what I say is true. And she pulls out her Bible, though, and she must have been thinking about this for a while because she turned right to Psalm 46, and she read it to me aloud in the car. And, you know, it's hard for a Jeremiah personality to drive at 65 miles an hour with tears coming down their face. But I managed somehow. The purpose, the aim of God isn't to knock all the props that we have in our hearts so that we feel completely helpless. The purpose of God in things that happen in our life, not that God causes those things to happen, sin causes things to happen, but God is there so that we can place these things at his feet, at the throne of Christ, at the throne of God, and trust in him. God alone brought us comfort in that car driving back that day. God alone brought us comfort through all that we went through from that point forward. And Stacy said at that point, she said, I am going to follow what my mother modeled. And most of you know who Billy was. She's a little bitty woman. She probably weighed about 90 pounds on her best day. And she only saw 5 foot when she was standing on a stepladder. But when she was first diagnosed with cancer the first time, she told her family, told her husband, I'm not asking why me, but rather why not me? In other words, why should somebody else suffer so that I do not suffer. That's what Billy was saying. And Stacy, like Billy, has chosen to take that as a comfort because of the idea of Psalm 46, that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. God is in control. He says in verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change and through the mountains slips, and though the mountain slips into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So Stacy had surgery, and I was lucky that I had people from this church come down and sit in the waiting room with me. And that was important. I tell you, these allergies are getting bad. Dr. Bonebreak came out, and one thing I've learned is that surgeries always seem to take a lot longer than what they say. So you can always add at least 45 minutes to an hour onto what they tell you it's probably going to take. But he came out and took me into one of those, met me in one of those little rooms, and he said, we think we got it all. We're not going to have any chemo, any radiation. We don't think that's going to be necessary. And I think that was important, a big deal to Stacy, because she'd seen her mom go through some of those things. And she did it with grace, but it's still very painful. And it's very painful to watch someone you love go through those things. So after a short stay in the hospital, and then she came home and recuperated, and she went back to work, and life went back to normal. And boy, you just think, this is it. This is the end of it. We got it, and that's it. So she would go back every 6 months, and she'd do that for 3 years. And then after that, you would go on an annual basis for years 4 and 5. That's the protocol for it. We put our faith in our God who gives us our salvation. Sin came into this world, and with it came suffering, came things like cancer, heart disease, stroke, dementia. I've seen all those things in my family, and a lot of other things that I don't even talk about to my wife. But we still have hope through the power of God, and our hope rests beyond this life because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. James 4 tells us in verses 13, 14, and 15, he says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Well, on June the 16th, Stacy was scheduled to go back for one of her six-month checks. And we went in and to see Dr. Bonebreak, and the PA was the one that we had that particular day. And there was a spot that the PA thought was just scar tissue from the surgery. But she said this, and it made sense. Better to know than to think we know what it is. So they took and did a biopsy on it. So when we walked out of there, Stacy, because this was 3 years. This was her last six-month visit. We walked out, and she made her annual visit for a year from that date. And we were going to do 2 more 1 years, and we were going to be done with it. Life changes pretty quickly. On June the 19th, we were driving back from Joplin. Stacy had been down to see her ophthalmologist down there, and the doctor gave her a really good report, where she'd been having some trouble with her eyes. And we got a call from Dr. Bromberg's office, and It was Kristen, the PA, and she said, well, it turned out it's cancer. We want you to get a CT. The closest place that we can get you in to see it, get a CT in the Cox system is Monette. We can get you in there on June the 20th, the next day. And they had a sense of urgency about it. And so off we go to Monette the next day. What we didn't plan for was there was road construction going on. And 39 Highway was closed going farther south. The detour took us to places I have never been before and will never go through again, and roads that were probably narrower than the aisles in this church, and you're meeting tractors and combines on that road, and we're going to be late, and we're going to miss our appointment, and we're going to have to wait another week or 2 weeks to get a scan to see where is this located for sure and what can we do about it. But we made it there. I think we got there. I let her out the door, and I said, I'll go park the car. You go in and register. I think she got in there about 2 minutes before she was supposed to be there. I'm not sure. And we're just lucky we had the oil pan still on the bottom of the car with some of the places we went that day. But she went in. She got the CT done. And on the 28th, we met with Dr. Bonebreak again to develop the next plan going forward. On July the 5th, that's a good way to spend your holiday, isn't it? Of 2024, she had her second surgery to remove what was a reoccurring cancer. Dr. Bonebreak came out and he said, I don't know how this happened. He said, I've never had this happen before. It's a fluke. He said, the only thing we can figure out is some of the cancer leaked out when we did the other surgery and attached itself again. As a husband, you don't care about those things. Don't tell me it's a fluke. Tell me it was all a mistake and she doesn't have cancer. That's what I hear. But that's not what he said. So after a little recovery time, she did a series of radiation treatments with Dr. Madden down in Springfield. And, you know, I think back on some of these things now, and I was going to retire at the end of the spring semester of 21. But we all know what happened in that little window of time there, thing called COVID hit. And I was going to retire anyway. Enrollment was down. I mean, it was down everywhere at that point in time. And I thought, you know, I work here because I want to be here. I'm not working here because I need the money. I'm drawing retirement as it is. And I don't want to see other people get laid off because I was a tenured faculty member and we had people in our department who weren't. And I just decided I'm going to retire at Christmas of 20. I would have been working during this time, and it would have been a lot more difficult for me to get off and to take her to these different things and to be available for her. I mean, they're great to work with at SBU, but sooner or later, you have to be there to do your job. So she had the treatments, and in October, she started going back for exams again. Now you go every 3 months, and you alternate doctors. So one time we go down and see Dr. Madden. 3 months later, we go see Dr. Bonebreak. 3 months later, you go back to Dr. Madden, you just go back and forth. And I said, why do we do this? Why do we go back and forth with doctors? And the answer was, because we don't want to make a mistake. Because a separate pair of eyes looking is better than the same pair of eyes looking each time. And they just didn't want it to happen again. Verse 10 says, be still and know I am God. I am your source of comfort. I am your source of reassurance in a time of stress. When you're feeling uneasy, uncertain, let go of the anxiety and fear that keeps you from becoming what I want you to become, what God wants you to become. Trust in Him. take your faith to a different level is what he's telling us in all these things, reminding us all the time that he is omnipresent and he has the ability to bring peace out of turmoil. The psalm that is written here starts out with, God is our refuge and strength, and yet we tend to ignore that and try and do things under our own power. And men, we're the worst in the world at that because we have to be in control. And we see that be still as a suggestion when it's really a command. And it says, cease driving. That means stop. And when Stacy, when we were driving back that time from Gabe's and she was reading that to me, and we decided at that point that when this verse says to cease striving, to be still, to stop what you're, stop being the way that you're being, God is saying, snap out of it. I am God. Wake up. Stop living in fear and deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Acknowledge who your God is and be in awe of what he can do in your life. That doesn't mean that he's going to cure you, but what it means is I have this assurance of his presence to always be in my wife's life, to take care of her when I can't do what I want to do in those situations. So what are we to do when everything spins out of our control? When the hardships, the difficulties just seem to overwhelm us and fear starts to dominate our life. God says, be still. Be still. And it's a challenge to do that. I know it's a challenge. I've been there. And it's hard. Know that I am God. You know, it's hard for me to accept, but I don't need to be in control of everything because I have a God who is in control of everything. The more we know about God, we understand his strength and his power, it enables us to be more at peace with where we are at in the present and where we are going to be at in the future. We come to understand God's goal in being with us, and we can accomplish his purpose, his will, and that is to be a witness to all the people, not just the people we pick and choose, but to all the people. I remember this very significantly. I took my sister to her chemo treatments. She had seven brothers and sisters, there were six of us living at the time. And we took turns so that nobody had to miss that much work. And her husband could work because somebody had to keep paying the bills and paying for the insurance and different things. So I remember sitting there with her during the chemo treatment. And I remember her telling me during that treatment of when my niece, Gretchen, took her up there for a treatment, and she took her son Wyatt with her. Wyatt was only about 5 years old at the time. Now he's 16 years old and has a better beard than I do, and he certainly has more hair than I do. And she said, I was amazed at how his ability to interact with all the other cancer patients here taking treatments, and he would talk to them, and they would just feel at ease and comfortable because he gave them peace. Talking to a five-year-old boy gave them peace as to what was going on in their life. If you've ever been to a chemo treatment or experienced a chemo treatment, it's horrid. It's horrid for the person going through it. Patsy always wanted to eat right after the treatment because she said, I won't want to eat in another hour, so I need to eat now or I won't be able to eat for a couple of days. And so we do that. We need to stop what we're doing, acknowledge God, acknowledge His sovereignty, and commit to His leadership because He is God. One day, all the fighting will stop. When I don't mean the physical fighting like we have, yeah, that will stop too. But the fighting that takes place within us, the rebellion that takes place within us when we want to do things under our own power, under our own strength. That doesn't mean that we quit battling at all. It just means that we quit battling under my might, but now we do this under God's strength. It doesn't mean that we stop praying. It means that we start praying more in a more insistent way with God. It doesn't mean that we pray lacking in confidence because of somebody we know that this is not working, or we see somebody like my sister who is just getting weaker all the time. We know that God makes all things perfect in His time who believe in Him. Tells us that God speaks and the earth melts. Fighting ceases. Believers remember who their God is when these things take place. We are amazed at what God does, but we shouldn't be amazed at what God does because He's God. We don't need to fear the end of life. No one. I've got grandchildren. That's the last thing I want to do is to leave my wife, leave my grandchildren. But I also know that at some point that's going to happen in my life. But I also know that there is a resurrection. Christ died on the cross, was resurrected on the third day. We're going to celebrate that very soon. We should be celebrating it every day. And I am going to be in the presence of my God. I am going to have the total security of what I need. And you know what? My back won't hurt anymore. These tears will never stream down my face again in the presence of God. There'd be no more pain, no more fighting. So how do we find that? We've got to remove the distractions from our life. Life can be a blur. I mean, it is. I sit here and I look amazed at that little boy back there and realize 4 years ago, he was the size of my hand. And look at him now. And it seems like yesterday that he was born when we got that other one not that long ago. So what do? We need to find time for Christ. We need to have a place for Christ, not just in our heart, but in our home. When Stacy was gone when I was working on this, and I'm glad she was, because I sat there at the computer, and ladies, my mascara was running down my face. But I had a peace, and I've had a peace since we committed in that car ride back to Psalm 46. Through the surgery, through the recovery, through the reoccurrence, through the radiation, through the recovery, through the continued trips back to the doctor. We try to block some things out of our life. There's some things you can't block out of your life. And so we need to find strength in those things and use those to cement our relationship with our Savior. We saw Dr. Madden back in March. It's like a reunion when she goes there now. All the people come out and say, oh, we're so glad. They hug and kiss each other. Not that Dr. Madden, he doesn't do that. And then she goes back there and she sees Dr. Madden and everything's good. In May, we'll go see Dr. Bonebreak. And we pray that everything will be good. We're just trusting that it is. And if it isn't, we're going to trust in God to make it all right in His way, and in his manner.